From the studios of Wavefront Audio Visual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 54, Little Brother, dated the 2nd of October, 2021. Stay tuned, Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. So let's get started. Zenger, one of the authors and maintainers of the website electoralvote.com, has said this about the Epic hack. It, quote, did not produce a smoking gun so much as it produced a giant smoking heap of horse dung, end quote. It's such a large body of content that it's going to take a very long time to pick through all of it. As this happens, political revelations are going to come trickling out from a number of different sources as they make their discoveries. It is complicated by the fact that Epic also had stored on their servers data that had been scraped from sites of people and organizations that they found interesting, many of which had no connection to the company. This warrants an additional level of caution for anyone analyzing the data. As usual, I'm going to try to keep this podcast politically neutral, but this story squarely falls into the intersection of politics and tech, and it's just such a monumentally large hack that I believe it's going to be producing news for quite a while. Photo sharing website Imgur has been bought by Media Lab. Historically, the website has been popular amongst users of social media site Reddit as a place to post images for inclusion into Reddit posts, as Reddit didn't have that capability at the time. It is still commonly used by Redditors for this purpose, simply because old habits die hard. With all that said, I would expect to see some changes in the way that the site operates under its new ownership. Exactly what this might be is an open question. However, if you want to speculate, Kik may provide some useful clues as another of Media Lab's acquisitions. Of course, included in all of this is the concern about what happens to individuals' data when a site or a product is acquired. If you are an Imgur user, you may want to consider making sure that you have backups of any images you have uploaded, just in case. In episode 48, one of the headlines was about the Dallas Police Department losing about 20 terabytes of data in a migration, jeopardizing a number of court cases due to a loss of vital evidence. The city's IT department released a 131-page report on Thursday, identifying the root causes of the data loss. The report finds three root causes, being inadequate data management, insufficient control systems and oversight of staff, and insufficient review and adherence to detail. The report lays out in excruciating detail the entire timeline of events, the costs, and what they are doing to prevent a recurrence. Interesting to me, one of the recommendations is remove dependencies on email and voice communications to process requests. I couldn't agree more. Put in a ticketing system if you don't have one, ticket all of the work, and keep the tickets up to date with any modifications, discovery, or other communications. Ironically, the goal of the migration appears to have been to reduce costs by placing the data in the care of a cloud services provider. Stronghold Data Mining, a cryptocurrency mining concern, has recently purchased a coal-fired power station in Pennsylvania. Cryptocurrency mining as a practice tends to consume large quantities of electricity to perform, and while this is not the first case of a mining concern purchasing power operations, it is, I believe, the first case of a coal-fired plant being the purchase. The plan is for the plant to be operated on waste coal, which are the tailings of the coal mining process. The material would historically be left to leach toxic substances, including heavy metals, into the ground and potentially into the water. The idea in this case is for the plant to consume waste product and leave behind clean land, theoretically benefiting the environment. However, this may be offset by the carbon dioxide released in the process. Databreaches.net is reporting that a hospital in Germany that suffered from a ransomware attack has come the closest thus far to a case where a death is attributable to a hack. In this particular case, the effect was secondary, specifically that the patient death was the result of hospital resources being distracted by the aftermath of a ransomware attack. Information was not passed to physicians in a timely fashion, and a neonatal patient died of oxygen deprivation, all because information was not able to get to the people who needed it in a timely fashion. As yet, there have, as far as I know, not been any cases of a death directly attributable to a hack, but it seems likely that it could happen any time now. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. And you know what that music means? It's time for another episode of Who Got Pwned This Week? This week we feature a group so nice they pwned them twice. That's right, it's everybody's favorite laissez-faire domain registrar, home to so many hated right-wing groups. Yes, my friends, Epic once again. In compressed form, it's 68 gigabytes this time, and includes full disk images of Epic's servers, enabling anyone who gets a hold of it not just to examine the data, but to actually run a complete copy of the systems that Epic had at the time. It has API keys for Twitter and Coinbase and PayPal, amongst other things, allowing access to accounts on these services, which obviously in the case of Coinbase and PayPal also means access to the company's financial services. If they are smart, they have changed the credentials. However, if they were smart, they wouldn't have gotten hacked twice in as many weeks. On the technical side of the Epic hack, distributed denial of secrets have posted a new link to the original 180GB haul, stating that due to its size, the original torrent is incompatible with most torrent clients, and many users will have difficulty downloading the data. The new link points to a torrent containing significantly compressed data, alternately using zip files and gzipped tar files, resulting in a reduction to a much more manageable 33GB. Citizen Lab have recently published a report concerning the use of technological measures to control the pandemic. The 90-page report, focusing primarily on Canada, but also on the US and the UK, observed that in these nations, the public health information infrastructure was not prepared for the challenge that it faced at the start of 2020, leaving a void to be hastily filled by private concerns, both commercial and nonprofit. However, while privacy laws, particularly in Canada, were initially perceived as an impediment to COVID response, a web of systems were put in place that were able to collect and analyze enough information to address the pandemic. Here in the U.S., the primary tool that assisted in the control of the pandemic, according to the report, were contact tracing applications, which were voluntarily installed on mobile devices by some users. Interestingly enough, the report also talks about new privacy legislation that was introduced in Canada during and despite the pandemic, suggesting that at least one government is trending in the right direction. I'm going to go out on a different note than usual tonight, with a poem by yours truly called Digital Slam Version 1.1. Switch comes on, sending electrons through the silicon, lightning in a rock, stuff that few can grok. Going into hock to overclock, tick-tock, wham, bam, out of RAM, it's too big. We need another gig, cause the code is a pig, ya dig? The data whisks through magnetic disks, no thought to the risks, not backed up, tisk, tisk. Clicky things like buckling springs make my heart sing as the bits fling around the net, crossing the ocean without getting wet. Hey, here's another data set I'm gonna stash with WGET, filling the raid for which I paid to have the space for data filleted. Life's a breach that will never teach. While they sleep, the data gets leached, and they never learn you cannot reach. But who downloads it? That group? Is a niche. Clickety clack, hackety hack. Don't look now, but Epic fails back. They changed their passwords to password one. Hate to say it, but their system's done. And why do we do it? Just for fun. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Funkaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pwned music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. And our theme music is Around Chaos by Heatseeker. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well.